I don't know. I just don't know. This is the news, according to me. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I don't know what to say. Because all I have in my cup this morning is water. That's all I have. Just some water. Because I can pull my thermos out. I do have some sweet tea there. I should have pulled that out before the show. Maybe I'll just walk over there and get that. I bet all of you would like to hear me just... What does it sound like for me to just put down my headphones and walk over here? I'm going to walk over to the refrigerator. Sweet tea out of the refrigerator over here in my room. I'm still in Atlanta, by the way. I'm gonna use this napkin here for my. I got a coaster. Okay, now I've got something in my cup. I've got sweet tea from Arby's. Yes. Ah, that's good. That's good stuff. I had did my workout this morning. I did have some chocolate milk, by the way. Just, you know, that was my muscle milk. It wasn't muscle milk. It was just regular chocolate milk. It's for my muscles. Did my stair climbing thing today. I'm up on the 11th floor in this hotel, so I decided that going up and down the steps a couple times would be sufficient for a workout. Went down to the basement. Came back. Filled up my big water jug. Came back up here. I don't have anything really for the show. I don't have anything for the show. I have nothing. I've just heard a couple of reports this morning. A couple of emails I saw go flying past me. One of them was something about 137,000 ballots. It's over 100,000 ballots in Wisconsin that were trafficked. Now, I'm not sure exactly what this... That was the headline. I don't know exactly what that means. I'm assuming that means they were bogus. And you have to realize, in some of these swing states, that the total number of votes needed to change the election was about 200,000, I think, if I remember right, in some of these swing states. The total for all of, to change the election in the states that were that close, 200,000 ballots, 200,000 votes would have changed the entire election in these swing states. When you look back at this and the way the news media jumped on any opportunity, as long as Joe was ahead near the end of the tallying, they jumped on, Joe won that state. It's settled. We've called it. No arguing. Nothing was flipped after that. They called it. It was done. It's official. When the media calls it, it's done. And if you had any argument about that, what are you talking about? We've already called it. What are you talking about? This happened live. One reporter on Fox News was caught saying this. She didn't realize she was on the microphone. She was on the screen. She's saying, "What's she saying? What is she talking about? We've called it." And she was talking about Arizona or Nevada, one of the two. So it blows my mind, you know, that we're just now getting around to all these things that they've been telling us were conspiracy theories, and it was all Russia, Russia, Russia. And I guess that the thing about Joe Biden's son, Hunter, one of the reasons it's heating up, and I think the reason it's gotten some traction, is because some people are upset about the whole Russia invasion of Ukraine thing, and finding out that Putin has sanctioned Hunter Biden. Well, how would they sanction Hunter Biden if he wasn't involved in Russia? I mean, obviously, he was traveling back and forth. If any reporter at all has half of a wit's hair about them, they would... I don't know what that is. I don't know what a wit's hair is. I just made that up. But if they had any credibility at all, I think that's what a wit's hair is. It's credibility. They would... have some kind of dignity about them, self-respect at least, enough to look into something, to look at some records and not just wait for somebody to give them a story. My understanding is that now the Washington Post and Zawapo or somebody is now chiming in on this whole thing, saying it's credible. The Hunter Biden part of it's credible. There's no connection, though, to Joe. There's no connection to Joe at all. No connection. He's not the big guy. He's not getting 10%. There's no connection there. We want to look into bank records. Oh, no, we don't need that. We don't need that for, you know, we don't look into that. We just know that there's, as long as we say there's no connection, there's no connection. That's the way they want to treat this. They're protecting the president. The media is protecting him by not looking into it. And if somebody brings them a story, that's not credible. We need more than one source for this. All kinds of reasons and excuses for why they're not going to accept that. This is the way these people operate. They've been in control behind the scenes for far too long. I was listening to BCP, Black Conservative Patriot, this morning, a little bit while I was walking up and down the steps, trying to keep from falling down. It's a lot easier to fall down than fall up. If I could fall down 10 flights of stairs, I'd probably, falling up flights, if I could, I would, because it'd be a lot easier than climbing them. If I could just fall up the steps, that'd be a lot easier workout. I have a concern, and I've had this concern for quite some time. I was going to talk about this a while back, and I said, hey, I'm going to talk about what I think about the rapture, my opinion about the rapture. And I'm going to talk about that this morning a little bit. Again, my show is going to be fairly short because I have, I've already taken my shower, kind of ready to head out the door. But I need to get dressed and all that stuff to put on my business clothes to go do my thing today. And then I'll be back this afternoon. I might do another show this afternoon even. Kind of like these afternoon shows, especially right before the weekend, because I'm probably not going to do a show over the weekend. I might. I'm not sure. We'll see how that goes. Might do a special show, maybe a live broadcast on Rumble. That always goes so well, especially from a hotel room. But I digress. The BCP was talking about this this issue, and he put together some things that were interesting. We're not being told the full story on what's going on at the border. They're talking about dropping the mandate. This is going to happen just in the next yesterday or today or whatever they make a decision. To whether or not they're still going to allow people to come in, which my understanding is they're still getting in. There's over 200,000 that have come across the border in the last 12 months that are getaways. In other words, they've gotten away. They came across the border without any processing whatsoever. Now, there are some have come across with processing that we don't know how many. They won't give us an answer. They won't give Congress a straight answer on that. They won't even give an estimate. It's believed to be in the hundreds of thousands, possibly a million. They're expecting that have been processed through and not sent back. They're expected to come back for an asylum trial or hearing, whatever. But most of them don't come back. I think only 10% of them come back, typically less than 10%. Excuse me. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. However, they were telling us that there was 175,000 people on the border ready to cross as soon as they dropped is it Title 42? What is it? Some kind of thing that has to do with COVID, testing for COVID and people passing or whatever. They're going to drop that standard that people have to be vaccinated or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. And of course, you know, being the smart people that they are, they're talking about dropping that standard, which is going to cause this influx of people coming in. Excuse me. And now the estimates are 500,000. 500,000 people are going to come across the border. We haven't been told the real story about the numbers that are waiting. Now, you think about the number of people who invaded on D-Day. Invaded Germany. I think it was 140,000, 150,000 troops, I believe. That number is probably off by 10,000 or so. One way or the other, give or take. I can't remember the actual number. I should know. That's very dishonoring of me not to know that number, because every single one of them mattered. And yet we have people coming across the border at an alarming rate, and we don't call that an invasion. They're seeking asylum. They want to make a better life. Yeah, sure, all of us do. I want a better life, so is it, should I? And I know Nancy Pelosi has a nicer house than I do. Should I just go over there and just walk into her house and say, well, I just want a better life? I'm coming in here because I want a better life. I want your ice cream out of your freezer there, your $50,000 freezer full of ice cream. I want some of that. So I'm just going to come in. You need to let me in because, you know, after all, you're compassionate. Just letting people in. Oh, you'll let somebody in somebody else's house, not your house. That's the way that works. As long as you have a wall around your house, you're fine. Don't build a wall around everybody else's house. Yeah, that's how that works. Rules for thee, not for me. That's we all know that happens. It's ridiculous to even talk about it. Everybody knows that that's the way the Democrats are, the leftists, and some Republicans, some establishment Republicans in this whole thing. There's a young man, I can't think of his name right now. God bless him for coming out and and being bold enough to talk about this. There was a, apparently he's been getting invited to some parties by some old-timers there in the on Capitol Hill. You know, the temple of democracy. He's been getting invited to some parties. Now, this is the way they do this in Washington. I don't know if you realize. I think it's is it Cawthorn or Hawthorne? It's Cawthorn. I think it's Cawthorn. It's his name. He steps forward and talks about these invitations he's been given. I got a little tickle in my throat. Pray from the sweet tea. Or it could be a witch hair. I don't know what it is. There's something in there. The invitations were rather, I'm not going to repeat them. It was debauchery and some drug abuse type stuff, drug use. And he, you know, said the quiet part out loud. He talked about it. Said, I've gotten invitations from these people to go to these parties. And this is the way they draw you in. They get you these parties, and then you don't want to talk about it because now you're part of now you're in with the club. But they've got dirt on you. You don't dare say anything now because they'll say, well, you did it too. My guess is that the people who are all of a sudden coming out and being loud about, oh, he should be admonished for this. He should be reprimanded and whatever they're calling it. They're calling it not sanctioned, but what is it? I guess they're talking about sanctioning him or something, doing something. For speaking out on this stuff. In fact, Kevin McCarthy, the slipperiest snake in the swamp on the Republican side, in my opinion. He comes across like a real nice guy. He's calling for some kind of sanctioning of this guy. Now think about this. Nothing burns my nose hairs more than this. Nancy Pelosi acts like she's the boss of everybody in Congress, in the House, especially on the Democrat side. She keeps them in line and she, you know, makes sure that they do what they're supposed to do, tries to control them. That's why she doesn't like the squad. Because they want to buck against the establishment, the Democrat Party, and so Nancy doesn't like that. She's trying to keep control of them. That's why she wants. Actually, when she talks about the children, I want to run again because of the children. I think that's what she's talking about. She's talking about AOC and the rest of the squad there. Ilhan Omar and what's her name? Yeah, all those folks who are trying to run the show there. And she doesn't like that. So she's trying to, the children she's talking about are those children. And she's a child herself, but I digress. So Nancy, you know, kind of runs the Democrat, the DNC there in Washington with an iron fist. She punishes people and takes them off of committees and does all kinds of things. Now think about this. We elect someone to represent us. We send them. This is the people. He's our representative. We send them to Washington, and they treat him or her like a subordinate, like they're not important. or you better stay in line here. We're gonna punish you. No, you're punishing all of us. That's our representative. This is the reason why it's illegal to lie to Congress, because you're lying to the American people. Those people represent the American people. That's a representative. When you talk to them, you're talking to the state of whatever. For instance, I live in Indiana. I send a representative from Indiana, and when they talk to my representative, when they bully my representative, they're bullying me. We need to get back to this ideal that is the way that's what's happening here. Unfortunately, when people get to Washington, they don't see it that way. But that's the way it works. Anyway, I digress. There's some other stories. So BCP was putting all this stuff together, and he basically figured out that there's a guy that was interviewed, and he was talking about how the reason they didn't like Trump, and this is pretty obvious. I kind of figured this out earlier too, but this guy kind of confirms it, which is scary almost that I was right. Trump is, he's not an establishment guy. He came from outside. He kind of disrupted their whole plan to keep the illusion of a two-party system. That's what we have. We have the establishment Republicans and the establishment Democrats, and they all act like they're arguing about things during the day, and then they have parties in the evening together. Parties that they invite Cawthorn to. And they get together, and they have these, fun time, hey, let's party it up. We're in power now. We're the elites. We're the oligarchs. We're the, whatever you want to call them. And Trump came in and kind of disrupted that. So they didn't like that on both sides. Nobody liked it, because he was upsetting this little apple cart thing that they had going on, and they were heading down a road of total domination, total power, basically a one-party system that looked like two parties. Doing the same thing, just under different labels. Big government, war hawks, big company control, regulating businesses. Let the company get really big, and then we'll jump in and regulate it so we can control it. Which is exactly what they do in China. I mean, China just came down. They're just upfront about it. They said we're going to control all the means of production. In this country, they control the means of production, but they don't come out and say that. They just have so many regulations that they can control you that way. Looks like it's democratic. It's like democratic socialism. It's democratic communism. Well, we have to control these people. Yeah, because that always works so well. You guys do such a good job of controlling things. So we press on, but this guy was talking about how they interrupted this whole thing that was going on with they were getting so close to grabbing the brass ring, and then Trump comes along and kind of spoils it for him. He was kind of exposing this whole thing. He's talking about how it works, and it's not just the leftists, but the leftists are really at the tip of the spear here. But there's Republicans going along with this whole idea because they want to be a part of this thing. They want to join in. They want to jump on this train. But they just want to be on the caboose. They want to act like, look, I'm trying to fight back. Look how hard I'm trying to fight against them. Oh, send me more money so we can fight against these people. Oh, yeah, we're really fighting hard. Look at me, I'm going to vote against it, even though we're in the minority. Looks like I'm fighting really hard. I'm going to vote against this. Look at me. Send money to me. Oh, dang, they won. Oh, no. Well, send me more money. We'll keep fighting. Keep sending me money, even though I'm getting paid six figures. Keep sending me money so I can keep voting no. I guess if you stop sending them money, I guess they stop voting no. Is that what the deal is? Not sure how that works. The more money you send them, the bigger the no gets. I don't know. It's pretty good tea, actually. It's Arby's sweet tea. Tea down here in Atlanta, by the way, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Most of it's pretty good. Most places you go that actually make their own tea, they make it pretty good. They, for one thing, they clean the tea container for, you know, you have to scour it. It gets moldy if you don't. There's a certain kind of mildew that grows in tea. It's like a coliform bacteria type thing. And you have to make sure that's cleaned out before you make more tea, because if you don't, then it gets this bad flavor very quickly. I mean, when you first make it, it's okay, but then within an hour or two, it starts to develop this rancid, I call it rancid taste. Some people don't notice it. I notice it right away. And then, of course, you got the processed tea, which is just the stuff that comes out of a machine that is made in some factory somewhere, in some place, some other state somewhere, and they just send it around in powdered form or whatever they do. It's like Coca-Cola products. It's just a thing that comes out of a can, pressurized thing, I don't know, syrup. The people who make it fresh, they're, you know, that's a little different. They know how to make it down here. They make it right. Put enough sugar in it, make it hot, put the sugar in while it's hot. That's good tea. It's Friday, by the way. Shabbat Shalom. It's April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. I guess that's why I'm up so early today. I just had to get a good start on April Fool's Day. And it's almost 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time here. So I've got a little bit of time to get some breakfast after this show here. Not very much time, but a little bit of time to get some breakfast and head on off to my 8 o'clock appointment. Couple of news things I saw, some emails that happened to go past me that were kind of interesting. One is, the one thing about, I guess I already talked about it, that the ballot thing in Wisconsin. 137,500 ballots were trafficked in Wisconsin. I don't know even what that means. And of course, they don't want to declare the pandemic over. One of the things I've been talking about as far as the election, the next election, is that they want chaos. They know that they're not going to win. Right now, things remain the same. They will not win the House, probably not the Senate, in the midterms. They're going to lose both. This is a disaster for them, because they can launch all kinds of investigations. They can do all kinds of things. And my understanding, I guess this is my speculation. By the way, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a high school counselor. I'm not a medical professional of any kind. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a life coach. And I'm certainly not an expert on stairs. But I am a guy with a microphone with a bunch of opinions. And what are we going to do with those opinions? That's up to you. That's my disclaimer for this show. There you go. I can't remember what I was talking about. So got so caught up in that disclaimer. One of the aspects, I think, of what's going to happen, in my opinion, is that they want chaos to ensue prior to the election. Now, if they get a million people coming across the border, they're talking about even using resources from the VA to provide medical attention to these people coming across the border. They basically are saying they don't have the resources to even process these people, let alone, but they want them to come in because they need about a million votes to keep from losing the election in 2020. Well, I think they're more concerned about 2024 than they are 2022, but that's also a target date for them. But all they need to do is to have chaos and say, well, we have to delay the elections. We may have to forego elections this time because, you know, COVID and this invasion that's happening, all these poor people coming across the border that we need to help. We need to take people from the VA, from our veterans, and serve these people who are coming across our border illegally. This is just—it's atrocious what they're doing. It's just absolutely atrocious. I don't know how else to describe it. I can't think of the words. Well, I can think of some words. Probably can't say them. It's ridiculous what's going on. There just seems to be no end to this lunacy, ridiculousness. I've talked about this a little bit, and one of the things that I think that, especially after what's happened with COVID, the whole thing with the rapture. Just in a nutshell, I'll tell you what I think is going to happen. I think that probably an EMP or something is going to go off. Something's going to happen where the entire country kind of goes dark. The entire world goes dark for a little while. You know, it knocks out the entire electrical grid. Something happens like that. And in the process of that, the rapture happens. Well, people won't know where people have gone. There's going to be so much chaos, they won't notice that, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people have disappeared. They've vanished. And everybody will just blame this EMP, this strike, this whatever's happened. All the rumors will start flying. Everything will happen. You know, just the way things do. Rumors start flying like crazy, and just they get passed on. When you pass them from person to person, now you've got even, you know, it's worse than the internet because you have, just, you know, running rampant rumor to stuff. I think that's what's going to happen. I just, you know, people will say UFO abduction, whatever they're going to say, call it, but this. It's going to be hidden somehow. The enemy's going to try to hide this thing somehow from what's going to take place. That's just my theory on it. The other thing that's going on is this interesting report here. It's by Epic Health, and I trust these guys. They're saying the mRNA vaccines put you at risk for acute coronary syndrome. Now, according to this study, and I kind of believe this. Partially because we just lost somebody in this company I work for here right now. An individual 40 years old, 42, 41, 42 years old, just died of a heart attack. Some kind of heart ailment while on vacation. So this is a person who had been passing a medical. And just died. Very, very interesting. How many people, you know, in their 50s, 40s and 50s have just recently dropped dead of heart issues. But you know, the benefits outweigh any risks, as we've been told. So, got that going for us. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. I will probably be back here this afternoon, this evening. In the meantime, take care. Have a great day.